From the bizarre world of the paranormal to the sinister secrets of the U.S. government, the Black Vault has become known worldwide as the premier spot for anything and everything conspiracy. Now, join me, John Greenwald Jr., as we dive into the research together in hopes to decipher these mysteries. This is the Black Vault Radio. That's right, this is the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. Thank you so much for closing up the week with us here. It's been an exciting week so far. Hopefully you tuned in to Tuesday's show with Mr. Stephen Bassett, learned about the politics of UFOs and really what's going on inside the political arena and whether or not they're going to address the UFO issue. It kind of doesn't seem like they have in the past adequately enough. And Stephen believes maybe the next administration will be responsible for that full disclosure of UFO information. If you missed it, tune in. It's right there on your player if you're listening via theblackvault.com. And if you're not, go ahead and log on to theblackvault.com. It's show number 25. I didn't even mention that when I aired it. And silly me, I was excited to reach the 25th episode of the Black Vault Radio. You're listening to the 26th. If you missed it, just head on back. You'll be able to view it and download it, no problem. But don't miss this show either, because this is going to be a fascinating hour with Patrick Cook. And Patrick is coming on. I've invited Patrick to come on because this week we're dealing with the UFO issue all week, starting with Stephen Bassett. And now we're talking to Patrick about UFOs in the Bible. Let's get beyond the politics of it now. Let's get beyond the implications that maybe this president or this political party, maybe they'll be responsible. Let's get beyond all that. And let's talk about the religious aspect. Twofold here on this show. Number one, Patrick has done a ton of research when it comes to UFOs and the Bible. So whatever the Bible says, there are some passages in there that Patrick believes strongly that there is a connection to the UFO phenomena. He also has a very interesting definition about angels, about where they may come from or what they possibly are, and whether or not there is one God, I should say, or are many gods that are kind of ruling over us, if that's the correct way to say it, not ruling, but powering over us. So Patrick's going to come on, tell us a little bit about that. And before we get rolling with Patrick, though, for those of you who have been avid visitors of the Black Vault and been logging on to the message forums and so on, you may have noticed some hiccups about Tuesday, Wednesday after the Black Vault Radio episode went online. And that is namely because, yet again, hackers have attacked my site. And let me tell you, just a quick background story. I've been attacked a lot before. It's no big deal. You know, it's the majority of them, if not, 99% of them are blocked. And then they're just blocked from the site. And that's it. But this one was different. Unfortunately, I've never been attacked like this. Not only did he get into the site, but he created an account on the back end. Then he had a full ride into the server. And the technological explanation on this is too much to go into. But I will say it was the most frustrating thing ever. And if you're listening, I just don't understand where you guys get off doing this. I get you can do it. I don't even know what the motivation is. Is it because you can? Is there a reason that it's me? Or am I just out there? Am I just somebody that you guys put a bullseye on? And if you're listening, obviously I blocked you because for days you were getting in and doing certain things to the site. And then I put and implemented many security programs and blockages so they couldn't do this. Or you can't do that if you're listening. I want to know why. And I know the people that are listening to the Black Vault Radio, they want to know why. Why do you do that? You didn't even gain anything from it. I mean, I was right there to catch it. And you would get in again, and it was actually forwarding, just so you know, if you guys didn't see it, it was actually forwarding to some Arabic site. I don't speak Arabic or read it, so I have no idea what it said. It didn't look like anything malicious. It looked like a normal website. That webmaster wrote me back. He said he had nothing to do with it. It's really strange. I don't know. But be that as it may, the Black Vault's a target. And I guess that comes with the massive amounts of traffic that are coming my way. So thank you all for making the site a hacker's target, I guess. Stay tuned to the Black Vault Radio. Patrick Cook coming up on UFOs in the Bible. Going to be a great hour. Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I'm very excited about today's show because this is a topic that is so incredibly fascinating to me, and one of which that I don't have a lot of experience with, which is why I've invited Patrick Cook to come on to the Black Vault Radio and talk about UFOs in the Bible. So, Patrick, let me welcome you to the Black Vault Radio.
Thank you very much, John. It's great to be on your show.
Oh, well, thank you. It's great to have you on it. And you have a fascinating background. I've read up a little bit about you. I've known about your website for many years and known about your work. But please tell my audience a little bit about who you are. What is it exactly that you research? And really, how did you get started?
Well, it started back when I was 17 years old, actually 15 years old. I attended the American Baptist Seminary, and I was going to be one of the youngest ordained ministers in that religion, and had disputes over doctrinal issues, and then went about a 30-year study of exactly what religion was about. I took courses at Texas Christian University, not specific to anything, but on comparative theology, studying the world's religions. And then this all culminated. I have been a working man, just like everybody else in my life, and never making much of an impact. And then in 1997, I started studying the Great Pyramid at Giza and basically came to the conclusion that it required flight. And then somebody pointed out to me that Isaiah 19:19, which is another story in itself, could possibly be a description of the Great Pyramid. And then I started studying flight in the Bible and came across an incredible revelation. I noticed that all of the things that were happening in the Bible were happening in heaven. And, of course, everybody's perception of heaven is that it's a divine retirement home. And then, so I started studying. Being the researcher that I am, I studied the words, the origin of the words, and found out that the 730 times the word heaven is used in the Bible, it actually refers to Hebrew or Greek words that mean the sky.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a divine retirement home, and there's no place in the Bible that says you're going to go to heaven and just sit around fluffy clouds all day like the image that people have.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden, all of these things, these clouds and these strange beings that come down from heaven, go into heaven, the whirlwinds, the chariots of fire, all these things are not happening in some ethereal place in the proper perspective in the Bible, but they're actually happening in the sky. And then I began to notice that there was a great deal of similarity between the descriptions of the craft in the Bible, what appeared to be craft, because the gods are in these, gods and angels are in these craft,
mm-hmm.
and talking from them and coming down from them, speaking to men, giving commandments, the entire thing as a friend, probably the longest encounter with one of these vessels was in the Exodus, where the nation of Israel, the Hebrews, were taken out of Egypt. Everybody knows the Exodus story. There's movies about it. And for 40 years kept what is estimated to be between 1.5 to 3 million people fed and watered and wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. It was called the Pillar of Fire, a great cloud. And, of course, everybody knows Ezekiel's whirlwinds, Elijah's chariots of fire. And these things appear all throughout the Bible. So what I decided to do was to collect all the verses, put them onto a website, and the pages on that website have been viewed about 7.5 million times now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a fascinating topic. Now, let me make sure that I have it right, and everybody that's listening, I'm sure, is wanting to ask, exactly what are you proposing that pillar of fire, that cloud, is?
Well, I propose that it's a UFO.
Okay.
That's the what we call a UFO, what we describe. Now, it's variously described as a throne. It's a pavilion. It's a place where God lives. This is basically what the Bible says. All this research is on my website, the Bible UFO Connection, BibleUFO.com, and everything's laid out in neat order, so you can find out where, what the vehicles that are being described, their flight characteristics, the beings that are in these, that seem to be in command of these vessels, and the technology, which a lot of people refer to as miracles. But if you think about it, if in a high-tech sense, a lot of these things could be very high-tech powers that these individuals, that these beings have. And so the what we propose is that, considering, if you look at the descriptions that are in the Bible, and this is not just restricted to the Bible, there are flying gods in all the world's religions, the Veda, the American Indian traditions, the African legends. There are an incredible number of religions that have flying gods, and they all describe these strange craft in strange ways, because we're talking about a primitive culture here, that nothing flew, including kites or balloons. There was nothing in the sky but birds, clouds, whirlwinds, and the things that they're described as.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we believe is, what we propose is that these craft that ascend and descend and hover for long periods of time, they're flying, glowing, spinning, metallic objects. The Bible actually uses the word amber, which means polished bronze, in describing one in Ezekiel's whirlwind. There are beings that are that come down from these, that go up into them. There are lights projected, sounds, everything that would be associated with a UFO. Now, on my website, I have over 2,000 historical sightings from primitive times all the way up to the modern age. Mm-hmm. And if you go through those descriptions, you'll see that they are flying, flying, spinning, glowing, rapidly flying vehicles that ascend and descend, hover for long periods of time. You'll see that all through the historical record, and that's exactly what we see in our time. Now, the point that we make very clearly is, either these strange craft that the gods flew suddenly took off, and then another bunch of craft came down and took over for them, or they've just simply been here the whole time. That's what we, in other words, what we are saying is that, as in von Däniken's theory and other people's proposals about exactly what the ancients were seeing, we don't believe that these were aliens that were mistaken to be gods. We believe that they were gods that were considered gods for the entirety of history, and then suddenly, in the 19th century, became visitors from another world.
See, this is what's very fascinating to me in the kind of the preliminary research that I was doing about your work, is that where was that loss in translation where now there's only one God, and all of these were miracles from that one God, and yet with your research you're proposing, no, there's multiple gods, and throughout time we've now misconstrued that into being extraterrestrials or UFOs from another planet. My question to you is, where did that loss of translation come from? Where did the shift come, if that's true?
Well, the original word, if you open the Bible and you go to Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, that word God comes from the word Elohim. And he is the, and it is a plural word that means, it's the plural, basically Elohim is the plural of Elohah, which means, and it means gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used in the plural. The word is Elohim, and in the Hebrew, him added to any word makes it plural. So that word, Elohim, which is the word God that you hear, that you see in the Bible, actually appears 340 times in the Old Testament, almost more than all the other words that are used for God mm-hmm. in the entire Old Testament. And the God specifically that we're talking about, when you hear about God talking to Moses, God talking to this God is always called the Lord God. Now, the word Lord comes from the word Jehovah, which means the self-existing or eternal, and it is literally the national name of God for the Hebrews. And so we think of this specific being as Jehovah, but in all the other places where God, the word, he's called the Lord God, which actually means he is Jehovah, the Elohim. He is one of the Elohim. And you can see the word gods is used many times in the Bible. A lot of people like to think that what they're saying is that, you know, it's a false god, but that's not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
So anywhere where you see the word God in the Old Testament, it generally comes from the plural word Elohim. Where this happened, basically, was the fact that the concept, the book that we read now, the King James translation, and all other translations that we see, the Revised Version, all these other versions are actually taken from the King James translation, which was written between 1604 and 1611 A.D. And it was written, as everybody knows, in a very strange language, and it was dictated by the Bishop of London to be a particular doctrinal thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go way back to Eusebius in the 4th century A.D., who was the first theologian of the church and a personal friend and mentor to the Emperor Constantine, who formed what we now know as the Catholic. It was originally called the Universal Church. It was a complete revision of the old doctrines that were passed on through the ages, through the Hebrews, and right up to the time of Jesus. Constantine changed the whole thing by he united, as we see, you can see all these pagan holidays that we have associated with mainstream religion, especially the Christian religion.
Mm-hmm.
What that was a blending of the Roman pagan religions and the Christian religion, and he came up with a generic religion on his own and completely changed all the doctrines. And one of those doctrines was the concept of heaven, sort of put that into a broader scale. That was generally not accepted, but the word heaven was, in the King James time, was actually meant the sky. And so they were able to hold on to that for a long period of time, but then that became a divine retirement home. So what we have is Eusebius influencing the Emperor Constantine, and basically the concept of a polytheistic religion was changed to a monotheistic religion, basically to simplify the whole thing under one control, under the universal or Catholic Church.
Wow. Well, this is great information for all those that are listening and want to learn more. Patrick has an unbelievable website, and you can look at it while you're listening to the Black Vault Radio. Go to www.bibleufo.com. Again, www.bibleufo.com. Patrick, you said how many millions of hits have people downloaded from your site? How many?
Well, it's 7.5 million page views since 2001.
7.5 million. Great.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you check it out, www.bibleufo.com. There's much more coming up right here on the Black Vault Radio with Mr. Patrick Cook and his definition and research of UFOs in the Bible. Lots more coming up right here. Stay tuned. Fuck. welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. We're learning about UFOs in the Bible and the research of Mr. Patrick Cook. Please check out www.bibleufo.com, author of The Greatest Deception, The Bible UFO Connection. Patrick, I know you have a couple more books that you offer on your website that link over to Amazon. I am dying to know, though, after the information that you've given us just throughout the first part of this show, what is the reception that you're getting when you come out with research that connects a lot of these quote-unquote miracles that many religious doctrines teach, connecting that to, no, this may have been a UFO presence, which connects to many gods. Please tell me the reception that you get.
It's absolutely amazing. When I first put this website up, I was ready for a constant and consistent flow of hate mail. Amazingly enough, the response to my work runs 10 to 1 in favor. The email that I get, the comments that I get from other people, it's amazing the number of people that are open to something like this. One of the problems is that religion is a very structured thing, and it's operated on a fear and incentive motivation type of thing. The fear is if you don't do what we say, you're going to go to hell. If you do what we say, you're going to go to heaven, and there's not a whole lot between. So the whole concept that people are interested, that this God, if there is a God, he's got to be a little bit more than what's portrayed, this ethereal sort of smoke and mirrors, wizard behind the curtain type of God, is just not satisfactory to the intelligent mind. We are a superior race of beings right here on this planet,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing the things that people can do, the creativity, the intelligence, the things, and of course the destruction that they can wreak. It's amazing. The human animal is an amazing thing, and they need there needs to be a practical explanation. And when you can come up, see, now I don't just have like one or three or four or five verses backing up what I say. I have hundreds and hundreds of verses in each and every given category that I speak to, and all you have to do is read it and then try to what I defy people is try to find the alternative. Try to find out. The one thing that I do is I lay out every specific doctrine in the Bible from the time you walk into the church until the time you die. Every concept, every teaching, every doctrine, every practice in the church, every major doctrine that you've got. And I take those one at a time and I show them. I show the reader what the church says this means, and then I show what the Bible says it means. And in every case, it is not what the church teaches. So when you approach people with a practical and logical sense like that, and then you provide evidence and you back it up, then people are going to respond to it. It's amazing. People do respond very positively to it.
Mm-hmm.
When I get hate mail, or it's not even really hate mail, it's very seldom that I get it. What I usually get is that you're just completely wrong. I mean, it's a blanket condemnation. It's not like, here's why you're wrong. And if somebody can show me, and I mean it, I'm dead serious, if somebody can show me where I'm wrong on any one of these issues and they can send me an email and show it to me, I am obligated, because of my dedication to the truth, to actually change that. And I would,
mm-hmm.
if I could find it differently. So what I have done is I've taken, and my last project was on the concept of fallen angels, which is absolutely a fascinating concept in itself. I find it amazing and very satisfying that people, and it's amazing the number of people that write me and say they've known this all their life. They've known that God drives a flying saucer. They've mm-hmm. known these things. And people will write me and tell me about their situations and how it's amazing that finally I find somebody else that thinks the same way. So I have no idea, other than the number of page views, how many people are actually following what I'm doing. But when you get 2,000 to 3,000 people a day visiting your website, there's a lot of attention going on.
It sounds like it. Now, let me ask you specifically, have you had any reaction from the religious community, meaning a pastor, a father, a priest, a nun? I mean, do you get letters from them? Is that your hate mail, or are you pleasantly
surprised? No. I never get response from any other scholars, any other theologians. Any theologians that I talk to generally agree with me,
mm-hmm.
and most especially with the leaders of other religions. This is a much more accepted outside of the Christian religion. This is much more accepted than it is within the Christian community. And the thing is that I present facts. this is scripture. This is all backed up by scripture, and I'm very careful, very detailed in the way I present it. I give the meanings of the words, and I only use two sources, the King James Bible and Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. The Strong's Exhaustive is considered as an authority in theological interpretation, and not in the theological interpretation, but in the actual definition of the original words as they were used, which in many cases is very important, but not necessarily so.
Wow. Well, let me interrupt you, Patrick. I'm sorry to interrupt your thought. BibleUFO.com. Check it out. There's more coming up with Mr. Patrick Cook right here on the Black Vault Radio. Stay tuned. You're listening to BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. I am your host, John Greenwald Jr. We've been talking to Mr. Patrick Cook, author of the Bible UFO Connection, creator of BibleUFO.com. Make sure you go check it out. You can surf while you're listening here to the Black Vault Radio. Patrick, you've given us very unbelievable and fascinating information. I wanted to ask you, though, before I had to cut you off at the bottom of the hour there, you were telling us that you use, namely, the King James Version of the Bible. And I wanted to ask you why that one.
Well, for two reasons. First, it's the most popular version of that Bible. It's the authorized version. It's missing the Apocrypha, which are a group of 15 books which are supposed to be in the Old Testament, between the Old Testament as it ends now and the New Testament as it begins. But the most important thing is that the only concordances, lexicons, and things like that where you can actually get the definition of the words are tied to the King James Authorized Version. So in other words, it's the only one that we can actually see. I could do it with other versions, but I want people to be able to go online and check what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. In other words, when I say there's a definition of a word and it means this and that kind of thing, I want them to be able to go online and look at a lexicon or Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and see that what I'm saying is absolutely true. So that's one of the reasons, that's why the King James Version is used, and plus the fact all the other, like I say, all the other versions are simply reinterpretations of the King James Version.
And you do that on your site, and that's what really intrigued me about this research, is it's not just your regurgitation of information on a page. You source it all. You've got the Bible verses that you can reference. Check it out, BibleUFO.com. Now, Patrick, one thing that also intrigued me was that it's not necessarily the quote-unquote UFOs or the craft in the Bible that you propose, but you also have a little bit of a differing definition on angels and where they come from. Please let me get you started on that.
Well, the vision that we have of angels in our modern age is basically artist renditions of what they believe angels look like. And, of course, it's a standard view. You've got a very fair-looking individual with long hair, wearing robes, got a harp in one hand and a halo over their head, and sitting on clouds, and wings. That's the important thing. Well, those descriptions simply do not exist in the Bible. I have every place where angels are mentioned in the Bible, and you're not going to see them with wings. You're not going to see them with halos. They don't have hearts. They, and in very many cases, you will see very clearly, it's very clearly stated, they strike fear into the individuals that they see. They're mm-hmm. described as manlike, but not, there are no specific descriptions. This is absolutely amazing. The only specific description as to size or anything to that effect happens when Peter enters into the sepulcher that Jesus has arisen from, and he finds what he calls a child in there. And it basically means a small man is inside this tomb. Hmm. Now, what we believe is that there are varying descriptions in general appearance, but not like, you know, it had big eyes or anything to that effect. Nothing about body parts or anything to that effect. So what we're saying is that all the grays, the browns, the blues, the Nordics, the tall grays, the reptilians, all of these creatures could very easily have been what they were witnessing, but we don't have any specific descriptions. So in other words, what I'm saying is that obviously there are beings coming out of these crafts that we see in our modern age. What I have done is said, the Bible does not preclude that possibility, that there could be many different types of beings. Now, we say that the Elohim, the gods themselves, the family of God themselves, probably do not have a specific planet where they live. But this could be a possibility somewhat in the vein of the Star Wars concept, where you have the Force, which would be God, and you have this federation of different races that serve that God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what we believe is the possibility. Now, we don't have any absolute proof of that, but the point is that if we're saying that the same craft that were flying back then are flying in our skies right now, then it would stand to reason that the same beings that would be coming out of those craft and would be appearing in association with those craft would have the same appearance that we see now, and the Bible does not preclude that.
Now, Patrick, let me be a devil's advocate for a second and fire a skeptical question to you. And if somebody came to you and said, oh, come on, Patrick, you've obviously put your work into this. You've obviously done many hundreds, if not thousands of hours of research, but you're reading into it too much. What would you say?
Well, I'm not reading anything into it, actually. What I do is simply present what the biblical record says, mm-hmm. what the historical record says. I do write articles, and I do put concepts down, but I do the same whenever I write the articles. I do it in the same vein, unless I'm using talking about the government or something to that effect. I don't just focus specifically on the religious aspects of this. There's a lot. If what I'm saying is true, this has a great impact. This has a great impact on mankind. It could have a great impact on the future of mankind as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I try to specifically. It is not me saying these things. I would love to take credit for all this. I'd absolutely love to. It would make me the most brilliant man in the world if I could do that, but this is not. I am simply taking biblical verse and human reality and putting them together in a form that is laid out in a logical, topical way. So I'm not just saying these things myself. I would love to take credit for it, but I'm not. This is what I say is this, and this is very simple. If you take every single comment and even take all the definitions out on everything that I've got on this and just leave the scripture, that's all you need to do is leave the scripture in the categories that they are and take out every comment I've made on this, it will still have the same impact. And I believe that anybody who had approached it from the same way that I did would find out exactly, with the, you'd have to have the experience, you'd have to know how to do the research, but I've done the research, and anybody can see how it's done. It's very simple. It's not, there's no smoke and mirrors here.
Mm-hmm.
This is just simply taking scripture and showing exactly what that scripture is saying. And a lot of these things people have never seen.
They haven't. And that kind of leads into my next question is you said 3,000 people a day come to your website and download information and research. Is that correct?
Yes.
About 3,000. Do you think that out of those 3,000 people, they'll turn around and start talking about this type of information on the streets? And with that being said, do you think there's a time where the religious community offline, meaning not the ones that are researching online, will start to accept this type of research?
Well, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with, I believe he's, Father Balducci.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
you're familiar with him. Well, the Catholic Church has come out and said that that UFOs do exist. They're trying to figure out exactly how they fit into the scheme of things. They don't approach it the way I do, but they do approach it as, well, and obviously, all we have to do is look around us. Now, abductions are a real problem with people. They say that this is, you know, this shows that they're evil and they're, but if you look at the overall experience between UFOs and mankind, it's a game of cat and mouse. It always has been. They have not interfered in recent times with mankind's situations, with society. They haven't interfered in society. We see them every once in a while. They'll disable a nuclear facility, you know, a nuclear weapons facility somewhere. We see them showing up in these incredible power blackouts, which a lot of people have tried to associate with massive weapons tests.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very good possibility that they're involved with the weather somehow or another, possibly modifying it in certain ways, because we see them around tornadoes, hurricanes. Then they make an appearance during earthquakes, volcanoes, this kind of thing. So they're out there moderating, monitoring. At least we know they're monitoring, but they have not interfered. There's no real evidence to say that they're a threat to mankind. And as a matter of fact, the only statement that the United States has made concerning UFOs in a official capacity, I don't recall the exact context, but you've probably heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
They say that they are not a threat to national security.
Yeah, they said
so
that
we don't need to worry about it.
Right, they said that at the close of Project Blue Book, which,
yeah,
going back to your comments about shutting down nuclear silos, I'm sorry, I'm not a government agent or a military expert. However, I would say that to me is a threat to national security. But anyway, that's a whole different topic in itself. I wanted to bring you back to Monsignor Corrado Balducci, and I had the honor of interviewing him on camera. And he was fascinating to hear him talk, and it really seemed like he wanted, not necessarily in the capacity that we're talking about today on the Black Vault Radio, but really he wanted to acknowledge the UFO existence, that they are over our heads. Do you think that that is kind of a testament, pardon the pun, but a testament to the Catholic Church trying to come around and accept this topic? Or is this one man who happens to be from the Vatican that's talking about UFOs? I mean,
I know the Catholic Church like in the back of my hand. He would not be speaking if he wasn't speaking under authorization. I guarantee it. And you know that too.
I do. I wanted your interpretation of it, though.
Right. No, he's speaking. What he's doing is, being that he's public, if I guarantee the first time he opened his mouth, he would be completely, he'd be persona non grata if they were not allowing him to say this. They want him to say this. This is always fascinating. A lot of people will think, well, the church would be against it. And of course, you see the evil alien thing and all these people using trying to use scripture and trying to say that this is a satanic deception. But there's a very good possibility. See, I don't believe there's going to be a world religion. I don't believe in a world religion. It's not spoken of in the Bible, like the end times predict with the Antichrist, who is also not in the Revelation, who I don't believe is associated with the Revelation. This whole concept the church will be against UFOs may not be the situation. I may be shocked myself on this. But I do know that the powers, it is not the churches I'm worried about. It is not the people online that are saying these are evil aliens. It's the the powers that will suffer the most on this planet if UFOs are revealed. And we find that to be, I just published an article called the UFO Disclosure, The Harsh Reality. And that's getting very good reception. And basically what it does is cover how the government will deal with it and how the military will deal with it and how big business and religion and education and the media.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, we live in a world that is controlled by a massive web of global corporations. We see these, you know, private equity firms have done $400 billion worth of business so far this year, which is absolutely an amazing thing. There's an amazing control by the corporate world, and we believe that that's where the response is going to come from, because they're going to lose their power, they're going to lose their wealth. If what I'm saying is true, if these UFOs are of God and Jesus is going to return in the clouds, as he says, in the end times, then the biggest ones to suffer are the ones that have caused us the most havoc and the most problems with this planet. Corrupted, not necessarily the morals, but the entire social fabric.
Mm-hmm.
We're tied into buying. We had an attack where 3,000 people were killed on September the 11th, and the President of the United States comes out and tells everybody to go shopping. Give me a break. This is a real world, and we are not just a bunch of programmed consumers. But what we're going to see, those people do have control of the government. They are through the lobby system and through the election process. You have to have big corporate ties to get elected, to get into power. And in a lot of the other areas around the world, that is, they have direct control. What I'm saying is the powers that are going to be resistant to this are not necessarily the churches. It's going to be the corporations
mm-hmm.
who control the governments, and the governments control the military. So that's where this is all going to come. And, of course, the media will respond as is appropriate.
See, the religious aspect to me is probably the front runner, and I say that namely because the UFO disclosure topic has become quite a hot topic here on the Black Vault Radio. In the last couple of weeks, we've had Stephen Bassett on earlier this week. We've had a multitude of researchers, and it always leads up to disclosure and is it going to happen in that reaction. And I think it was with David Twitchell that I talked about Heaven's Gate, and that if you had some kind of disclosure, some kind of acknowledgement that this UFO topic was real, that you're going to have not one or two, but probably tens of hundreds of these UFO cults that are just going to go off themselves because of their religious beliefs, as tweaked as they are, but they're strong enough to them where they're just going to kill themselves. Let me ask you, because this is such a hot topic here, beyond the implications or beyond the ramifications of disclosure, do you believe that this is something in the foreseeable future, that it's going to happen?
Well, the Heaven's Gate thing was a very strange thing. If you look in the Bible, you're not going to find anywhere where it says you got to go someplace
mm-hmm.
and be there, or you have to kill yourself to accelerate the process. They're not getting this from Scripture. They're not getting it from the Bible. It has not. I don't know where this comes from. I have no idea where it's just these seem to be the concepts of individuals,
mm-hmm.
but they seem to get that in their head. I don't think it has anything to do with reality. Now, if they, where are all these UFO cults? There are a few that I'm aware of, but not anything of any significance. And I don't think, you know, there's going to be a whole different perspective here. Why would you want to kill yourself or go off someplace? When apparently what the Bible says is going to happen is that the entire world will be just ringed with these things.
Mm-hmm.
It says every eye will be able to see them. So that's a lot of vessels. And I think what we're going to see is awe. It's going to be, it depends on how the government reacts to their presence. But I think, now see, I'm talking about a massive amount. The thing that we're talking about now, which is really important, is that the governments are. We've got Chile, we've got Brazil, we've got Mexico, we've got the French, and then, of course, Great Britain is just about to expose something like 16,000 of their sightings. If the government actually, you see, the problem is that it will cause great disruption in the society. This will be the most important thing that humanity has ever experienced, to suddenly realize that we are not the master race in the universe, that the whole universe does not center around the Earth, that we're just a part of a speck here. That's going to have great ramifications on the way people think about themselves and the world that they live in. Religion is going to, you know, I don't know how religion is going to deal with it, but religion is certainly going to take back seat. The problem is that there's no real room between the pulpit and God. There's no gap there. You know, I mean, there's a direct connection. You put a UFO in the middle of there, and it's going to be very strange for them. So it's a matter of what I say is it's going to be one of the strangest things that you can imagine. The science, the most fertile science fiction mind will not be able to predict what it's going to be like when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just have to sit back and see. But this is one of the reasons why I wrote the article, because I don't believe it's going to be good. I don't believe that the powers that be, the institutions that control, not necessarily the masses. I'm not talking about the people themselves, but the entities that are in control of society. Those are the ones that I believe are going to react against this, not for it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't think it's going to be good. And on top of that, maybe not necessarily definitely not for you and me, but for many of the people out there, it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary to see their reaction and what they're going to do and what is religion going to do. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions. You're listening to the Black Vault Radio with Mr. Patrick Cook, UFOs and the Bible, and obviously we're talking about that important topic that we all call UFO disclosure. I got to wrap up the show in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned to the Black Vault Radio. Much more coming up. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Black Vault Radio. We've been talking about UFOs in the Bible, and before the last break, UFO disclosure and the implications. And Patrick, I just want to ask you, really the question still stands. I personally don't believe that the UFO disclosure is going to happen anytime soon. Earlier this week, I talked to Stephen Bassett. He and I respectfully disagreed with each other. I just don't see it happening. Let me throw that question out to you. Do you, in your research, or even in just your own personal opinion, do you think that this is a possibility?
Well, all I can say for a certainty is it's going to happen when it happens. I have been involved in this type of research for 10 years now, and I thought it was going to happen within months when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to say. There are all kinds of processes that, you see, we don't know everything. We only know bits and pieces, even from a prophetical standpoint. It says very clearly, don't try to know the times and the seasons. And like every generation before us has always thought that they were the end generation. We just have to wait. You see, this is something that we know little about. The government doesn't tell us what they know. They're the resource. NASA, the scientists, they all know what's going on. But there could be things happening right now. I mean, it could happen tomorrow, or it could happen 10 years from now.
Yeah.
It could happen 100 years from now.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Right.
Well, it is one of those things that only time will tell, and I'm intrigued by, obviously, the topic and the notion that this may happen. I'm curious if Stephen Bassett is right, and it's going to happen in the first couple months of the next administration, which is supposedly going to be Democratic, I say supposedly, because who knows? With politics, you have absolutely no idea what's going
to
happen.
Clinton was a Democrat, and he was supposed to reveal it. He never did.
Exactly.
I don't think the presidents really know.
They don't. I don't think so either. I think that they are not in the know when it comes to this topic, and it's crazy, Patrick. That's a whole show in itself also.
Who's hiding all this?
Exactly. I could be on the air with you for hours. You are a great guest. Thank you so much. Please, before I lose you, though, give me a rundown of all three of your books and definitely tell me how I can get a hold of them.
Well, the Greatest Deception, the Bible UFO Connection, is basically the book that covers the website, the Bible UFO Connection. I have The Doctrines of Men, A Terrible Truth, which is about what it says, the doctrines of men, my research on exactly what the Bible says versus what the church says on these things.
Mm-hmm.
And my most recent book, The Real Apocrypha, speaks to the 15 books that were removed from the King James Bible in 1885, which cover a 400-year period of history between Malachi and Matthew. And all those books can be found at Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. And do you have a link from BibleUFO.com, your website?
Yes, I have a link on almost every page that says books, and people can go there immediately. And also, we highly recommend a number of books in our bookstore there.
Fantastic. Patrick, thank you so incredibly much. For all those who are listening, I urge you, there is tons of information at www.BibleUFO.com. It's a topic that it's a mystery for sure, but it's one that you have done your homework on. You have lots of references on there. Make sure all those that are listening, check it out, BibleUFO.com. Patrick, I can't thank you enough for taking the time and talking to me and my listeners. It's been a great hour of information, so thank you for that.
It has been a pleasure, and I really enjoyed speaking with you. Hope to be back with you sometime again soon.
Oh, you better count on it. And thank you all for tuning in to the Black Vault Radio. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you next week right here on BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network.